Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show with Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
All right. Hey, we're on the internet, or we will be when people actually download this. It's pretty cool. Yeah, as everybody heard from the intro that I'll add later, I'm Nate. With me is Larry Mead.
Hello.
International man about town. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Nothing too exciting. It's hot. It's hot here in Sacramento.
That's not that bad. It was hot. It was hot the last 2 days.
True.
It was. My favorite was a couple days ago. Sac Metro Fire wanted to know, what can we do to get people to stop coming to the river to get into the 40-degree water? And my initial response to that was, stop rescuing people for a little while.
True.
Because eventually they'll either get the hint or enough of them will drown that it won't be an issue. And I'm not advocating that people drown. I don't want people to get in the river and drown. But you're not going to stop people from getting in the river.
Why don't they just put up nets at certain points? Like long nets. I know it would capture fish, but they wouldn't. They could just stand there, and when anyone falls in the river or can't swim, they would just go downstream until they hit a net, and it would be like a collection point.
So idiot catchers is
yes,
what you're proposing.
Yes, they should do that.
I think you hit on it with the fish. I think the fish is really the reason that we're not going to be able to do that. You cannot save the dumbest in humanity because it might hurt the fish.
Mm, good point.
It's fair, and it would also really muck up people's jet skis, too.
Ooh, touche.
You don't want to run your jet ski over the top of one of those or your fishing boat, because it would just, you know what would happen. You get these fishermen out there on the boat on the river, and they would completely wrap their propellers up with the idiot catcher net, as I've now dubbed it.
Yeah, I guess that won't work. Well, I had to come up with a plan B.
Well, your plan is far more humane than my original plan, though.
Which is?
Well, to just not do anything.
That's right.
Let nature take its course. It's really what the Bible would want us to do. I've already incorporated the Bible.
Oh, praise Jesus.
I'm going to hell. It's terrible. Speaking of going to hell, let's talk a little bit. Today it was official on the day we're taping this, which is the 23rd of June. Anthony Weiner is officially no longer a member of Congress.
You said Weiner and member in the same sentence.
I know. It's awesome, isn't it? So this is a guy who had a very precipitous rise and fall from power, I guess. The interesting thing to me was when he started out, he was like an intern for Chuck Schumer, who's now a senator from New York. And he rose to the point where he had that seat in Congress and was really kind of a pit bull in Congress in terms of more liberal issues and things like that. And apparently in the congressional gym as well.
True. He liked taking pictures of himself at the gym and in the office and in an elevator and at his home.
Pretty much everywhere. It's kind of a problem. And I heard somebody postulate that that's kind of a gay thing, that guys wanting to take pictures of themselves all the time. And
100% gay thing, yes.
So there's a chance he could be caught in a bathroom tapping his foot in the near future?
Could be.
It's kind of weird. Now, from talking to pretty much all of the women I know, that's not something that the ladies really are interested in seeing.
It's something that gay men are interested in seeing. I think that out of all, I feel like that's very common. I feel like straight guys generally don't take, I don't know. It just seems odd to me. It seems very gay.
Well, I think there's plenty of straight guys who are taking pictures, but they're... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know straight guys who send pictures of their junk to other straight guys as like a joke. And I never really quite understood that.
That's interesting.
I know. But I know guys who do that. I've seen guys who do that. I've also seen guys who, when their friends will pass out, will take pictures of themselves with like their balls draped over the guy's face. It's like, look how gay he is. Well, he's passed out. You're the one who's awake. And you're the one who's put your genitals on his face.
At what point does a joke become by curiosity?
I believe it's when you unleash the beast from your pants.
Oh.
I think that is exactly the point at which it becomes by curious.
Hmm.
I have several friends that are going to fall into this category, and they're not going to be offended. They're going to go, so what? So what, man? You know, whatever.
It's that they're bi-curious, or they like to joke around?
A little of both, I think. Yeah. A little of both, I think. I have one friend, Corey, who currently lives in Maine, and if he's listening to this, this is a shout-out to you, my man. My friend Corey, apparently, he has tons of stories in which he ends up naked.
Oh.
And
is he cute?
I guess. He's got a wife and a dog.
That doesn't mean he's cute.
No. I guess he's cute. Oh, okay. I mean, I would say he's a reasonably attractive fellow.
Is he a lumberjack?
No, but there are pictures of him with a beard and a flannel shirt.
Ooh, we just got hotter.
Because he lives in Maine.
Exactly.
And you have to have a beard and a flannel shirt if you live in Maine. I went to college there for a couple of years. I grew a beard because I think it's state law.
Did you eat a lot of lobster?
I didn't, because when I was in college, I didn't have a lot of money. And even though you're there where the you think that you're around where the lobster is, that, oh, no, it's going to be cheap here. You know, like you go to the farmer's market, you get cherries for the half the price of what you pay in the grocery store or less. It's not like that.
Ooh.
I mean, sure, if you meet the fisherman at the dock, maybe you can buy a lobster off him, but that's not really practical when you're in the dorm, because you're not cooking a lobster in your hot plate.
True. Did you ever have lobster bites from McDonald's? I swear to God they had them. I swear to God.
McDonald's has tried every horrible thing and every bad idea in the universe McDonald's has tried. And the best part is I grew up near Canada. And in Canada, McDonald's is even more adventurous in terms of their menu and what they do. They had McPizza in
oh, yeah. We had that in Ohio.
Right. Well, they had it in Canada for like years. Mm. Like in the States, it would pop up for a couple months here or there. And they'd go, no one's buying pizza at McDonald's. In Canada, they have it. I think they still do. And in Quebec, they have poutine at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's fun.
So they went with the local flavor. Mm. So it's just kind of weird to see things popping up in places like that you wouldn't normally. Yeah, the lobster, the McRib.
Mm-hmm. In Morocco, they have a McArab chicken sandwich. Because every time I go to a new country, I always eat at a McDonald's, because it's always cool to see how something can be transformed in every different culture. And that, I think that might be the most interesting, because I feel like McArab should be some kind of racist term that you should feel uncomfortable using. But it's just a chicken sandwich with tagine flavoring, which is kind of like smoked paprika, sort of. But it was good. Fun fact, the only kosher McDonald's outside of Israel is in Argentina.
Wow.
True story. I went there and it was not very good, because you can't get cheese on your hamburger.
Oh, well, true. Yeah, no cheese. The only McDonald's in a historic building, I believe a historic building, is in Old Montreal in Quebec. And that's about all. That's as exciting as it is.
It sounds exciting.
I know. It's like, hey, we put a McDonald's in a historic building. And okay, that's the end of it. There's a little plaque commemorating it. So you make you feel, all the tourists can feel like, ooh, I've eaten at a historic McDonald's. No, you haven't. You've just eaten at an old building that they put a McDonald's in. Like a lot of the old buildings, they've converted into lofts and condos and various other things. And they're really nice older buildings. They're stone buildings. But to put a plaque there, and the place is packed. I've never been by there. And when I lived on the East Coast, I would go to Montreal up to once a month, like in the summertime. And I never went by there when that McDonald's wasn't like packed out the door.
That's because Canadians are weird.
But yeah, but it's not it's not Canadians that are going there. It's all the tourists from around the world.
Oh, I got it.
Because that is a huge – that's like old Sacramento. Do you ever run into anybody from Sacramento in old Sacramento?
I might hang out in old Sacramento occasionally.
Just to go to the bar?
Yes, and I love overpriced candy stores. I have a weakness for them.
But they have a free sample, so it all evens
out. They do, and they have barrels of candy. Barrels.
But okay, that's interesting, because I thought the same thing, too. I'm like, barrels of candy. It's not barrels of candy.
It's false bottoms.
I felt like the biggest jackass in the world when I finally realized that it's really just about the size of a bowl at the top of a barrel, and it's not actually a full barrel of candy. And You've had those moments where suddenly you realize that the idea that you had in your head is the idea that a 5-year-old would have.
Yes.
And that as an adult, you should really know better. And it's not like the wonderment of a Disney movie or losing yourself in an idea or a romantic notion. No, it's I thought there was a giant wooden barrel of taffy.
Think of how stale the candy at the bottom would get.
Right. See, now you're thinking like an adult, though. My 5-year-old brain went, wow, it's a barrel full of candy.
Because you know those workers aren't very proactive. So you know they wouldn't like recycle it and bring up the candy from the bottom. They would just keep pouring it in.
No, well, I think that's what they hand out on the streets, all the stale candy. Yeah, here, you want a free sample? Want a free sample?
They should open, like, a candy outlet so it is just all stale candy and, like, black jelly, the stuff no one wants. I think they should do that.
Well, Jelly Belly has their outlet with the...
Belly Flops.
The Belly Flops.
Yeah, I give them out as presents.
And they're a pretty decent deal over what regular Jelly Bellies cost.
Yeah.
But you can spend a ton of money there.
Oh, for sure.
Because I went there and I'm like, oh, this is a great deal. This is a great deal. This is a great deal. I spent $32 at the Jelly Belly outlet once.
Wow.
I was new to Sacramento. I'm like, there's stuff here.
Have you gone on the Jelly Belly tour yet?
I have not.
You can see, because Jelly Belly is actually owned by a very conservative family, and you can see portraits of conservative leaders in jelly bean. They're mosaics made out of jelly beans. They have, the biggest one is of Ronald Reagan, who did love jelly beans, but they have like a jelly bean bar where you can sample things. And they made Harry Potter jelly beans for a while and like gross ones. You could get booger flavored, which it's weird because everyone tastes them and everyone's like, wow, these really taste like boogers, which is kind of gross because then everyone's just admitting that they've tried boogers before.
Well, I think everybody has at a certain point in time, at least enough. Well, at the very least, you've had a cold. So you've gotten the taste of it going down the back of your throat.
I guess it's just odd to admit it when you're eating candy.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's odd to admit it in public. Go, yeah, this tastes just like a booger.
Mm, it's true.
The only tour... I'm trying to think the tours I've been on, like for something like that. I went on the Anchor Brewery tour.
Oh, fun.
In San Francisco, which was cool. Have you been on that?
Yes.
Okay. So for anybody who hasn't had a chance to go, Anchor Brewery, for all my people on the East Coast, is a San Francisco brewery, and it's in Potrero Hill, which is a neighborhood there. And you have to make reservations weeks in advance just to get in. And you do a walking tour, and they show you how they brew the beer, which is a little bit different there than it is, say, if you go on a Budweiser tour, because their main brew is called Anchor Steam, and it's based on how they brewed beer in the 1800s. So they used steam basically in the fermentation process. Either way, don't quote me on that. And the best part of the tour is the waiting around for it to begin. No, it's not. It's actually the most exciting part of the tour really is the parking your car and hoping you don't get a ticket.
Oh.
Because it's all street parking. No, at the end, they have the full sampler of all of their beers, which is fantastic. If anybody gets a chance to sample all of the beer, because it's actually pretty expensive beer. Mm. And I had a couple where I was like, oh, okay, I've always wanted to try this. And I tried one of them. I'm not going to say which one.
You don't want to give an unofficial endorsement?
I don't want... Well, okay. I tried the... I think it's called the Old Foghorn or something.
That sounds like a dirty term.
It does. I did not care for it. Oh. I did not care for that one. But I like most of them. I like the regular Anchor Steam, the Liberty Ale. They have a summer brew that's pretty good. And the cool thing... why am I doing a commercial for Anchor Brew?
I don't know.
God. I need money from them. Anyway, or free beer. That would be better. every year they come out with a Christmas ale, which for Bill O'Reilly, take that, Mr. There's a War on Christmas.
There is. Why? Yeah, there is.
There's a war on Christmas?
I think kind of.
Really?
Go to any... Okay, Americans think it's... Okay, a pet peeve of mine is when Americans talk about Europe as this like progressive... They have a romanticized or very different view of Europe than what it really is. If you go to Europe at Christmas, it is insane. There's Merry Christmas everywhere. No one really says Happy Holidays.
Okay.
And so, therefore, there's a war on Christmas.
Okay, so what you're saying is people who have this idealized view of Europe, if they're into Christmas, they're right?
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is that everyone, like, I think that Americans, a great thing about us is that we're very inclusive. However, I feel like Happy Holidays doesn't make sense.
No, well, it doesn't. It's one of those things that people, excuse me, people got tired of. People wanted to be inclusive and they didn't want to exclude, originally, I think, Jewish people because it's Hanukkah. So they incorporated that. And then you've got all sorts of other things. Kwanzaa, which...
But, yeah.
So they it's an attempt to be inclusive and include everybody in the quote-unquote holiday season. But what you're really doing is you're sort of... Because you can't go... Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah. It would just take too long. You'd never get out of the store.
If you were checking out of a Target and a salesperson said Happy Kwanzaa, what would you say to them?
Salam alaikum? I don't know.
I know of actually no one that really celebrates Kwanzaa.
You know what? I don't either.
I don't know. I really don't think anyone does. I think the only people that celebrate Kwanzaa are diversity coordinators at Fortune 500 companies who feel the need to have an ethnic related event during Christmas.
It could very well be.
It was invented in the 60s.
Nice.
It was.
They invented a lot of cool things in the 60s. All right. I have to take a... There we go. This is multitasking. I'm spraying my cat for scratching the carpet while I'm doing this. That's what you get for scratching the carpet, you little bastard. Anyway, that's my cat Zippy making his first appearance on the show, getting sprayed, now cleaning the spray off of himself. At least he stopped scratching the carpet, which is really the main goal. So Kwanzaa was invented in the Mad Men era.
Or something like that, yeah, by a professor. I think he was at Michigan State.
Okay, it was a weird time, the 60s.
Maybe it was the 70s? I don't remember. What's funny to me is it's kind of like a Disney take on Africa, because he wanted to bring over, like, celebrations of feast time in Africa. So instead of actually just... using one, he created one and Americanized it. So really, it's a pretty Disneyfied holiday.
Wow, that's more than I've ever heard about Kwanzaa ever.
True story. I do love Kwanzaa. I just don't celebrate it.
Oh, is it? Do you get it off from work?
Sometimes.
Okay,
yes.
There you go.
I get a very informative newsletter.
Ah, see. That's part. Now you work in the government,
correct?
And I work in corporate America. I work for a very large corporation, which shall remain nameless, faceless, and benevolent and wonderful to work for. and it's that sort of correctness that we're talking about with adding Kwanzaa is sort of become the mantra, at least in the corporate world, of. You have to respect everybody's view, but which is a good thing. But I think sometimes it gets taken a little bit too far, and especially when it comes to training.
Mm.
Not because when you're training, everything has to go to the lowest common denominator. So it has to be planned out for the dumbest guy or girl.
True.
I'm sorry, man or woman working in any office.
I'm sorry, I find that offensive for those that don't identify with any gender. So could you just please say people?
Okay, yeah, any anybody. No, that is a valid point too. That does come up in the training as well. So yeah, it's all part of that. We need to be inclusive. We can't hurt anybody's feelings, and you know, every now and then, I'd like to have my feelings hurt because it makes you feel alive. I think.
Huh. That's an interesting viewpoint.
I don't want it to happen every day. You know, I don't want to leave work feeling like, oh, nobody likes me. My feelings were hurt. But, you know, every now and then, it just to sort of inject a little bit more passion into what's going on. I think every workplace would be a lot more interesting if you could do a wrestling style promo interview about somebody that you're kind of feuding with or you got an issue with at work.
Perhaps.
And you have to call them by their first and last name, or else it's not really a wrestling interview. You know, my problem with Bob Smith is Bob Smith just uses the copier all the time until it's out of toner, and Bob Smith never does anything to refill the toner. So the next time I see Bob Smith near the copier, I'm going to hit him with a trash can.
That's an interesting theory. Maybe you should try it. You should make a suggestion to your... I don't know what you call it. We don't use human resources because it's an outdated term. We use the word human capital because humans are capital.
Human capital?
Mm-hmm. True story.
My God, that makes it sound like... Oh my God. How do you not feel like a pawn in that system?
Well, I sometimes do retreat and facilitation stuff on the side. And I once worked with an organization whose human resources office was the Office of Human Potential. OHP. Because they felt they didn't want to appear systematic. They wanted to appear holistic.
Wow.
They spent a lot of money coming up with that word, too. That is all I will say.
See, those are the jobs that I want. I want my career to be to come up with bullshit names for things that really won't make a difference ever.
But who knows? Maybe an employee there will be like, "Wow, the Office of Human Potential is so awesome. I'm so glad we don't have human resources."
Well, see, that's what comes in when you have a job interview anywhere, and it's been 4 years for me since I started working where I'm working now. So it's been about that long since I've had an interview. And I'd been with a company before, so I basically transferred in the company. But one of the things that always comes up in the interview is, you know, we like to bring employees to their full potential so that you can work to your full potential. That's a really and growth and so on and so forth. And really what it means behind the couch language in any setting, not just the one I work in, is we want to see how much work we can get out of you for the same level of pay.
Mm.
I mean, that's really what it is. It's sort of a way of psych, like when you psych people up or athletes up for a basketball game or a football game. It's just you want to get as much adrenaline going, so they're going to be going 100 miles an hour for you, and that's kind of that's kind of how it goes. But at a certain point, the more intelligent people who work in your business tend to sort of figure that out, and then they make a joke of it. And it's all fun and games until somebody overhears it.
Mm.
And then somebody ends up in an office somewhere with a little discussion about, you know, how important things are and everything else. It really is. Once you've worked in court, and I assume the government is like this to an extent, but maybe not as much, you really start to put yourself into the movie Office Space.
Yeah, yes and no. Yes and no, sort of.
But yeah, in various instances in my career, I have been I have had meetings with the Bobs, so to speak, about this, that, and the other thing. How do you feel about how things are going for you here at blah 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 blah? And again, not my current employer, because they're awesome. But in my career in the past, it's been that. But I've also had my first job right out of college. I worked at a radio station that was owned by one guy. And this would be the complete antithesis of working for a corporate structure. This is a system where one guy owns the building, owns the equipment, and doesn't have a problem telling you, by the way, I own everything here and I can decide to fire you just like that. He liked to do that, too. That was one of his things.
Hmm. The government does that, too, except Obama just calls us at different times and let us know that. It's really lucky when you're going to get a call on the special phone. It's a big deal.
The special phone?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the special magical underwear that the Mormons wear?
It almost is.
And I bring up Mormons. I guess Jimmer Fredette's coming to Sacramento.
Yeah, he is. So, welcome to Sacramento.
Indeed. Assuming the proposed trade thing goes through, I assume it will. But he's one Mormon. Another couple Mormons just entered the Republican race for president, too.
Yes. The Mormons are very big right now.
I know. They're everywhere.
They're on Broadway.
Oh, that's true. The Tonys.
Yeah.
Well, not really the Mormons. The Book of Mormon. little bit different. I don't think a ton of real LDS people would be that excited about the Book of Mormon.
I don't think real LDS families could afford to go, because Mormon families have like 9 people in them. Broadway tickets right now for that show are going for like $140 a piece.
Wow.
So, I mean, granted, some Mormons do very well, but that's a lot of money to take a family of 9.
Well, you're stereotyping that they are a family of 9. They're Well, actually, I actually do have some relatives who are LDS, and my dad's sister married a guy who was LDS, and they had exactly 9 children.
There you go. I speak the truth, people.
unless I'm doing the math wrong, it was more than 7. Once you get over 5, I don't think it really matters. Yeah. Once you field more than enough for a basketball game, you're good to go. So you got Mitt Romney, and then you've got John. I forget his last name. Doesn't matter. He's not going anywhere. But he worked for Obama.
He did. He was the ambassador to China, I believe.
Yes, and the kind of interesting thing about Obama is when he came in as president, he didn't really sweep with a wide, broad broom. He left a few people from the Bush administration in things like ambassadorships here and there. A
couple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a ton, but far more than would be normally left if, I don't think Bush left anybody from the Clinton administration hanging around anywhere.
I don't think so.
I think that was pretty much a clean sweep. Now it's time to get our guys in there and handle everything. So that's that. But I just find it interesting. And I heard a poll about the percentage of American people who would be comfortable with a Mormon president.
Oh, but it's low.
It's not incredibly. I think it was if I remember correctly, I want to say it was 20%.
Wow.
And it's the exact same number that it was in the 60s.
So using that argument, could Mormons say that they are more discriminated against than African Americans? Because clearly a majority of our population voted in an African American president or a biracial president. But I don't think if you would ask Americans, would you feel comfortable with an African American president? I definitely think, obviously, based on the last election, it'd be higher than 20%.
It would be, and I think it's part of one of those things where for certain people, you can't admit, whether you feel this way or not, even if it is a blind or anonymous poll, you're not going to feel comfortable saying, no, I don't want a black president. Because, it's just not said, but it's still acceptable for you to say that about someone of a religious persuasion.
True.
More so than it is of race, color, or creed. I mean, it's just one of those one of those bugaboos, I guess, that you is that an acceptable word, bugaboo?
I don't know. I feel like that might be racial.
It might be.
I'm calling the Office of Human Potential. I'm going to ask them.
All I know is a lot of the stories I heard as a child are now completely racist, and I cannot repeat them.
Do you think that Americans would feel comfortable with a little person as president?
God, no, I don't. And here's why. Here's the reason why. It's the same reason that pretty much every president is 6'2 or taller.
Yeah, they have to be tall.
Because the Americans love the photo op. And the photo op you want is of the president face-to-face with another world leader, and he's got an inch on him. About an inch or two, just looking down a little bit in sort of that position of power.
But who doesn't want to take a picture with a little person? Whenever I see a little person, I want to take a picture with them.
Look, all I can think of when you say little person is Vern Troyer from The Surreal Life when he rode around on his scooter naked and peed in the corner.
Little person is the correct word.
I know it is.
Which sounds funny, and people always think you shouldn't say it, but in their community, that's the preferred language.
Little people, big world. I know. I've seen the ads for the show I don't watch.
I think I'm going to find a little person that's politically motivated, and I will fund their presidential campaign.
You know who you should get if you're going to get somebody is Peter Dinklage. He's an actor, and he did a movie called The Station Agent. He's been in a bunch of stuff. And I just like it because his name is Peter Dinklage.
Is he a little person?
He is.
Hmm.
He is. That's why I suggested him for your goal.
I might have to do some research on this.
He is old enough to be president.
Oh, well, that's good.
And he's a little person, but he's, I guess, a tall little person? Like,
How does that work?
Well, there's like Vern Troyer little people, and then there's a range in little people, I think.
So is he a little person with height?
I guess so. I don't know the politically correct thing. I don't know. He's a very good actor. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, and I really like him. And I just would love to see a President Dinklage, just because it's funny.
That's a long name to put on a poster.
True. It is. So Schwarzenegger.
And look how that turned out.
Well, he got termed out. I mean, he made it all the way through his time as governor of California.
True. As he was boinking his maid.
Well, to be fair, he impregnated her before he became governor.
I guess. Do you know she went... Okay, so the maid told Maria and was like, hey, your husband is this baby. And they cried, supposedly, and they hugged. And she's like, you know, I want to resign right away. And Maria literally told her, no, I need you to stay on through the holidays. Seriously.
That I do believe, because the holidays are a busy time. And when you're planning, you do need to have your maid that got knocked up by your Austrian husband.
But see, and this is a case where I think Christmas should be used, because if you were a boss and you said, I need you to stay through the holidays, depending how you define that, that could be pretty long. Orthodox Christmas is like, what, the middle of January?
Yeah, you can roll that out for quite a while.
If there you go.
You're going to go through New Year's. You can take. Then suddenly it's Martin Luther King Day, and then Groundhog Day rolls in, and President's Day, and you've got to go buy sheets. It's really...
buy sheets?
Well, that's what you do on President's Day.
Really?
Yeah. You either buy sheets or a car.
Oh.
Those are what you either... Everybody has, at least going back to my childhood, JCPenney always had a big sale. Again, I'm advertising for people. God damn it. Always had a sale on sheets and bedding, and there were the big car sales. Those were the big things with President's Day.
Never really gave it much thought.
I don't know how that happened, but I think Abe Lincoln would be proud that you could get a great deal on sheets and buy a car in commemoration of his life.
I guess.
I mean, George Washington probably wouldn't care. I mean, he had wooden teeth. I mean, he wouldn't really be in for the creature comforts.
True.
But Lincoln, you know, they've got the bedroom named after him and everything.
Well, to be fair, Lincoln was probably gay. He had a gentleman friend that he lived with for quite some time. Well, that's why the gay Republicans are called log cabins.
Right. Well, you know, either way. I mean,
he was quite tall. If he came around right now, I think he would be very popular.
Probably.
He had a beard. He's kind of was a hipster. He wore a top hat. He had a beard. He was tall. He probably would, if he would be around right now, he would wear jorts and a scarf.
And he would ride a cruiser bike around.
Of course he would.
Because he's a hipster. I love that. Abe Lincoln is a hipster.
He is.
No, I'm not disagreeing with
you.
He was
a retro pre-hipster.
I've just never heard it articulated that way. Speaking of gays, gay marriage up for a vote in New York today.
Ugh, I know.
Speaking of Mormons and gays. When will the Mormons descend upon New York State? Ugh. Is really what I'm wondering.
Here's the thing. I know many people that are LDS, and I think they're very fun, and I like them, and I love some of them very dearly. But their church is kind of crazy. They have those videos, have you seen them on YouTube, that are like, I'm a surfer, I'm a dad, and a Mormon. And they have all these commercials, and they literally go on for like 3 minutes. And they talk about, like, I'm a surf champion. I love riding the waves and grilling out and hanging out with my friends. And, you know, I'm a proud Filipino and a Mormon. And they say it at the end. And I know because they have such negative press, but, like, ugh, I just don't get it. I have a problem with the religion that literally got to the place it is right now because of polygamy, which was so frowned upon in our society, them deciding what is an appropriate form of marriage.
Yeah, it's interesting, but they obvious what sort of happened with that is a lot of the other Christian religions, and some of the Christian religions don't even regard Mormons as Christians.
It's true.
Which is kind of it's sort of like when we were allies with the Soviet Union to battle Germany.
Yes.
And apparently the gays are Germany in this case. at least in their mind, the right-wing Christians and the Mormons are the U.S. and the Soviet Union battling the evil gays who want to control the world with their parties and their parades and their, you know,
fabulous flair of design.
And they're settling down to love each other like two normal people. Oh, sorry. I injected sense in there for a moment. I don't really get it. I know. So how many states, do you know off the top of your head, how many states where gay marriage is legal?
I think it's 3.
Okay, so
real gay marriage.
Yes, real marriage.
It's Iowa, New Hampshire, and I think Maine.
Really? In Massachusetts?
Maybe. I think Massachusetts.
Okay. And I'm a bad gay
when it comes to that.
You're not all
of all it. I know is that I know a friend of mine has a shirt that says, I dream of a time when California can be more progressive than Iowa.
Right. I think what happened – I know what happened here in California also happened in Maine, in which they had a prop – I think it was Prop 1 in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the big fight over it. And I don't remember what happened with that.
It failed, but it came really – it came surprisingly close. I do remember that.
Yeah. I think my home state of Vermont is one of the places where gay marriage is legal. I know it was one of the first to ratify civil unions.
Mm. Which, by the way, civil unions are just the marriage equivalent of riding in the back of the bus.
Okay.
It's, oh, you get to be on the bus, but we don't think you're deserving to sit in the front, so you're going to sit in the back. Which is why I have a problem with our President Obama, who supports civil unions, but says that he supports full equality. That's like saying, I think everyone should be able to ride the bus, just black people have to ride in the back.
Actually, today... And this just came out this afternoon, so I don't know if you saw it, speaking since you brought him up. Mm. He actually was giving a speech to an LGBT or a McDLT. Mm. I don't know all the
letters.
It is. And he basically, without saying in so many words, came out in favor of gay marriage, saying that gay Americans should have – I'm sorry. When I say gay Americans, I flash to the governor.
That New Jersey,
Jersey
guy.
Sorry.
He's a gay American.
I'm a gay American.
Okay. As a very active gay – that sounds really weird. As a very involved gay person, no one that I know identifies themselves as gay American. No one.
Well, it's – I mean, what –
Do you have to hyphenate that?
Where would that be useful to you? I mean, it's some sort of international gay convention?
I'm a gay American Aquarius who likes walks on the beach.
Oh, Lord. So anyway, basically what he said was that he believes that all Americans should enjoy the same rights and benefits.
Mm. Which there are a lot of benefits of marriage.
There are.
Tax-wise, there's tons.
There are.
There's so many.
There are benefits. There are drawbacks. Speaking as someone who is coming out of marriage number two, I can
way
speak.
To rub it in my face.
Yeah,
ha, you can't get married. I've got two.
Snap. That's two down. Well, think of it this way. Think of it as the government is preventing you from making those legal mistakes.
True. Have you seen the show Bridezilla?
I have seen very short moments of it, so I know of what you speak.
Okay, so I watched maybe four episodes in a row one weekend because I just get addicted to things like that. And I have to say, after watching it, I started to doubt my position on marriage equality. Those people are great. Okay, first of all, those girls are all trashy, and they're having weddings that are just trashy. But they think they're really classy. It's just really unfortunate. And they're all really ugly. What? No offense. I don't know why I'm nervous of offending them, but they're all crazy.
I don't. Yeah. What do you have to lose by offending crazy women?
One of them went nuts because the paper plates they were using at their reception were not the color that she wanted. If you're saying paper plates and wedding reception in the same sentence, you don't have the right to be angry about anything. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's really a first world problem.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really a first world problem. True. Like, you know, I mean, I have everything that I could want, and these are the plates I wanted, but they're the wrong color, and now I'm mad.
Screamed a lot.
That's kind of the point of the show. I mean, any reality show, really, if there's not a lot of screaming, it's
true.
It's no one wants to watch a show where everybody's going, "How you doing?" "I'm great. How are you?"
Have Good. You, speaking of reality shows, have you seen that show? It's called like Extreme Food Addictions. It's like, it's on TLC. It's one of those, remember they had that show about people that just had weird addictions, like the woman that couldn't sleep without her hair dryer blowing in the bed, or like crazy things. They have a new one that's for people that are addicted and they only eat one food. It's the only one thing. It's actually like a really weird mental illness. But this woman, she only eats cornstarch. All she eats, 10 boxes a day.
Wow.
Cornstarch.
They must love her at Costco.
I know. I was like, that must make grocery shopping awesome.
Yeah, just send out for a pallet of it.
Yeah, I learned about this the other night, and it was amazing hearing this girl's story. And what's funny is this girl who's telling me about the show became addicted to it, and she was like, you know, it's a big problem in the South in the black community. For whatever reason, African-American women become addicted to cornstarch.
What?
It has to do with something. I have no idea why, but she was like, it's a big thing. I'm like, I don't think it's really a big thing. Just because there might be six people total doesn't make it like a, you know, a public health crisis.
Now, the friend that you heard this from, is she African-American?
She's not.
Okay.
She's not. She's actually a white girl from New Jersey who moved here like 3 months ago to work for Jerry Brown.
Oh, my Lord. Jersey Shore-ish Jersey?
No, not Jersey Shore. More like Camden, New Jersey. More like Northern New Jersey.
More like Mob Wives, New Jersey?
Less mob.
Less mob, more wife.
More like, not so much Real Housewives of New Jersey-ish, but kind of like that without the pretentiousness and naughty bitchiness.
You know, before cable TV, no one had this intimate a knowledge of the different cultures of New Jersey.
It's true. The only thing I knew about New Jersey growing up, and if you ask anyone that grew up in Ohio, they will say New Jersey was a bad state and that everyone made fun of it, not to help that most of my family lived in New York City and no one went to New Jersey. Like, New Jersey to me was seriously, like, of the New York area, was like the lowest possible form of trash. You would rather go to like Staten Island. If someone said they were moving to New Jersey, first of all, it was like it literally was a distant land.
That's really interesting, because here's the cool thing about New Jersey, if you have the money for it, and I know this from watching Ice Loves Coco, speaking of horrible reality shows, Ice-T and Coco live in New Jersey, and the reason you live in New Jersey is because if you live in New York and you have a view, your view is of New Jersey.
True.
So the idea is you live in New Jersey and you look across the river at New York.
Yeah, which again, and to be fair, Hoboken is really awesome and is a happening spot now. But like, the suburbs of New Jersey, they have high car insurance. Oh, so my friend Kelly Pulver, who I went to college with, she's from New Jersey, and she was really excited because we always talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey. Her prom was at the Brownstone where the fight happened.
Oh, and
she intimately became more cool in my book once I learned that.
And sadly, I know exactly the fight of which you speak.
Who doesn't? I mean, that's pretty epic. Ooh, I was at the grocery store the other day, and Teresa's husband's going to prison for like 10 years or something.
Okay.
Which is incredible to me.
I don't have that much knowledge of it.
Oh, I kind of do. It's the only Housewives I watch.
I don't watch any of the Housewives.
You don't like gay Bravo TV?
Sorry.
The gayest. Bravo is more gay than the gay channel's logo on TV.
Although I will admit this, in addition to the Ice Loves Coco, I am in fact keeping up with the Kardashians.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
That's unfortunate.
I know, isn't it? It's like my form of masochism of some sort.
Ugh.
I don't know why I care. I could not tell you in a million years. If you waterboarded me, I would not be able to make up a reason why I care or why I watch it. But I do. But I've also gotten into two other awful, awful reality shows.
I'm nervous.
One is Audrina. Which is,
oh goodness,
I know, the life and times of Audrina Patridge. I never watched The Hills, though.
Is that the girl with the weird eyes?
No, well, I don't think so. She had a Carl's Jr. ad a couple of years ago.
Her friend.
She's a great body, kind of empty headed. Her mom is absolutely batshit crazy.
That's a shocker.
I know, it's a shocker. And there's the kids are on a reality show, and so I've been watching that. Again, no idea why.
This is getting awful.
I know. See, I got cable again when I moved here to Midtown, and I have access to all sorts of terrible crap. And thanks.
So far, those two are pretty terrible.
The other one, which I think is worse, is Mob Wives, which
God.
I mentioned. I know. It's
ugh,
like
Nate.
It's like I torture myself. I mean, I watch good TV too, but those are
There's embarrassing reality TV and like ones you're kind of ashamed of but you're addicted to, and then there's just bad ones.
I know. Although that's the only kind I like, is the really, really bad ones.
Mob Wives?
Mob Wives.
That's like below Jerseylicious. Which I only know from the commercials.
And I'm hooked on Jersey Shore too. I know. I'm not proud of it. I'm not.
New Jersey has a lot of shows.
It's easy to do a bunch of shows in New Jersey because you've got a ton of production houses in the New York, New Jersey metro area. So you've got a ton of people who will go out and work relatively cheap, and you don't have, and they can go home at night, so you don't have to pay to put them up anywhere.
I guess. I mean, New Jersey is just interesting.
They're very odd to outsiders. It's like when you see the creatures of the Galapagos Islands, you're like, huh, I never imagined something quite like that. That really exists? Mm. I think that's the fascination with New Jersey. But people say that about San Francisco, too. People who aren't from the West Coast haven't seen it.
What about San Francisco?
That it's just weird people.
Oh, true. Swear to God, I know someone that was convinced that if you went to San Francisco, all you'd see is, like, public sex on every corner. Which, if you go at certain times of the year, that's actually kind of not horrifically off base. But San Francisco sometimes is not as crazy liberal as the places I think people think it is.
Sure. So I went to San Francisco, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before, to go to a Giants game, and parked the car, had some lunch, and we're walking over to the park. And what do I see? Suddenly I see a couple of naked guys riding up on their bikes on the Embarcadero.
Nice.
No, not really. Wow. Not really. And I don't really care.
Which side did their balls go on?
I didn't look that closely because I was beside them. I would have had to really get out in front.
Oh.
And a lot of them were up off the seat, just up on the pedals.
Oh.
So there was that. And here's what I equate seeing naked dudes in public to. When I hear my cat, it's the same thing for me as when I hear my cat starting to retch and throw up in the other room. I mean, I'm not horribly disgusted, but I'm like, I don't really want to see it or deal with it, but it's not like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up.
How would you feel if there were naked ladies riding bikes?
There were a few. There were a few. All of the naked men were completely naked. All of the naked ladies were not. They were all wearing panties.
So they're not naked then.
They were not. And at least half of them were wearing stickers over their nipples. So they're
classy sluts.
They are classy. They were, and one of them was a progressive lady. Progressive, I guess, is the right word. Big, thick, black hair in her armpits, like the kind of hair that you would think would have gone out of style in the '70s, just hanging out from under the armpits.
Interesting.
And they were biking, and I didn't see the sign because I ceased looking at them and started looking up and around like a tourist. Because, you know, I mean, how many saggy balls do you really need to see on a Saturday?
Well, to each their own.
Okay, fair enough. Basically, their cause was that we were using too many fossil fuels. They wanted to bring awareness to that.
That's nice.
It is, but yeah, I would not have joined them. It was about 55 degrees in San Francisco that day. Not a great day for a naked bike ride.
Although, to be fair, if you're riding your bike in San Francisco with all the hills, you probably sweat, so it's probably nice not to have clothes on.
Could be. I mean, we were down on the Embarcadero where I don't know where they went to. Yeah, it was pretty flat. I mean, like under the Bay Bridge.
They went to buy some sourdough bread.
They might have. But the only problem I have with it, and I don't have a huge problem with it. I don't really care. I'm not uptight about naked people. But, and here's the but. They are.
You said but.
I did, and I saw plenty of it, of both genders. The issue I have with it in that context is, they were centering it around a baseball game, an afternoon baseball game. So you know there's going to be tons of kids.
Oh.
And you know, I mean, yeah, you go, oh, it's the human body. There's nothing wrong with the human body. But I don't think that in a public setting like that, your kids should have to see naked old guy. Mm. Or naked young woman either. I just think that that's just my... There's my only conservative part of it. I mean, if you want to go ahead and do that, I don't care what you do at the Folsom Street Fair. I don't care what you do at the Pride Parade because everybody knows where that is and what's going on. But when you bring your wrinkled ball sack to the ball yard and I have to see it in a place where I would never expect to see it, that's when I kind of have an issue with what you're doing.
I guess.
I mean, and no, I don't buy that it's free speech because I know it's a pretty
Nazi.
I know I'm terrible. There's some pretty liberal definitions of what speech is. And I know corporations are people now.
They are.
And
yay, thanks, Supreme Court.
Right on. And that they have all of that. But I'm sorry. Just wherever there's kids around, I just I don't have kids.
To be fair, there's very few children in San Francisco because no one can afford them.
Well, no, but these, that's what I'm saying. If you're in San Francisco, just in San Francisco, but these people were riding to go buy And they were doing it specifically at the time when everybody was going from the parking lots to AT&T Park for the Giants game. And there are going to be a, they know this. There's going to be a ton of people with their kids. If you did it at a night game even, because you're not going to bring as many, there aren't going to be as many kids going to a night game.
It's hard to see nut sacks when it's dark out though.
Oh, it's pretty well lit there.
Yeah, that's true.
They've made it really nice and easy for the muggers to see who might have more money.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's my only issue with
you're so lame. Why don't you become more progressive?
I would love to become more. No, I wouldn't love to become more progressive. I like being somewhere in the middle. I like being sort of reasonably common sense somewhere in the middle where I think everybody has a certain amount of sense to what they're thinking, and everybody has a little bit of nutsy out there to what they're thinking, and I like to fall somewhere in the middle of all of that.
That's what a Nazi would say.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's you've watched Fox News, haven't you?
I only watch the true news, which is Fox.
The
correct.
True news.
They report, and I decide.
That's right. That is their slogan, and I buy it completely.
It's fun to watch it.
It is. I will tune in Fox News because I like to know, and I'll even turn on Rush Limbaugh every now and again.
Who got his start here in Sacramento? Fun fact:
his talk radio start. He was a he was a wacky FM DJ before that.
Yeah, he got his talk here.
So I'll turn on the Rush Limbaugh and the Sean Hannity every now and again. Glenn Beck's going away, so that's not really an issue. But I'll turn them in every now and then just because I like to hear what people are saying directly from them as opposed to what people have posted on Facebook about what they're saying. Because there's always going to be an agenda to what somebody puts on Facebook, whether it's there. Oh, can you believe what Glenn Beck said about this? Well, you might be taking something out of context, whatever. But I listened to Rush Limbaugh one day, and my reaction to about 15 minutes at the start of his show was, there is no way to take this out of context because it is so blatantly what it is.
He's very angry.
He is an angry, angry man. And the interesting part of it is when they go to break, just pay – if you ever listen to him, pay attention to who's advertising on his show. Not necessarily local advertisers, but like the national spots. And they're all like, protect your money from this and do this. It's not as gold-centric as Glenn Beck was, but it was all about protect your identity from this and protect this from this. And it's all playing on that same thing that he plays on, which is you should be afraid of this because people are coming to take things from you.
Yes.
And – I think that's a really horrible way to live in that to create that world of fear where you're constantly afraid someone's coming to take it from you. And I mean, it's just where I have a coworker who shall remain nameless who is not at all conservative, but is completely afraid that the man is watching.
They might be. I'm just going to say they might be.
Well, let them look. I mean, they gave me a number shortly after birth to track me to take their pound of flesh from every paycheck I ever earn. There's cameras up. That's fine. But he is so afraid that the man is watching, he will not buy something on eBay.
Well, because the eBay really is just a front of a CIA operative. Meg, I probably shouldn't tell that secret. I'm going to get in a lot of
Meg
trouble.
Whitman is a CIA operative?
Shh. I can't tell people that.
Oh, that's how it all came down. She threw the gubernatorial race.
Yes, it was all a plan.
Wow. Wow. That's we've gone completely off the deep end. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. I always promise to talk about something that's kind of pissed me off. Because that's what I do. I get very angry about things, and people tell me to relax. But I think I need to get angry every now and then because anger is a natural human emotion. I think that's why I want people to hurt my feelings every now and then because I want to do it to other people. It's not really as altruistic as one would think.
Huh. That's interesting.
I know. It's crazy. So this is the same trip to San Francisco, and we're in the car. And I'm driving out there with with someone, and we cross over into West Sac. And just after the Business 80 and the 80 come back together, just before the Yolo Causeway, all of a sudden we hit stop and go traffic.
Oh, yeah, there's always traffic there.
Okay. And we're going like 15 miles an hour. And now I'm getting mad. Because I don't have a problem with traffic. I've driven in L.A. When there's traffic for a reason, because there's a ton of people on the roads, it's rush hour. This is Saturday morning.
When the, yeah.
This is a
it's
Saturday.
One of the worst times there.
Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And I'm getting more and more angry because we'll start to go and we get up to like 20 miles an hour. I'm like, all right, here we go. No. And I'm like getting tense. It's like, calm down. I'm like, no. You know why I'm mad? Because the reason that everything is stop and go here is there is some stupid little bullshit thing going on that everybody has to slow down and take a look at that's yes. really absolutely, positively nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I've seen this phenomenon over and over again. And so we go and obviously it's the first time we've been on a trip like this, so there's that doubt that I know what I'm talking about, because everybody doubts that I have any clue what I'm talking about when I get angry, as you can tell. So I'm like, there's some stupid thing going on that people are just like, duh. So we get, it's like 4 miles of 15 miles an hour. Yeah. We got like half, three quarters of the way to Davis. And suddenly off to my left, I see what's been causing the big delay. It's not an accident. It's not an animal that's wandered out into the road. It's not cones that have done anything. It's not even the cop pulled somebody over and you need to see if it was your cousin Billy. Mm. They were trimming a tree.
Aw, I'd want to see that.
They were trimming a tree in the median.
See? Why are they trimming a tree? It's anti-Christmas.
It wasn't a Christmas tree. It was a median.
Of course it wasn't a Christmas tree, because there's a war on Christmas.
It was a median tree. And no, there was no, they didn't even put cones out. It was that far away from either side of the freeway. And like 4 mile backup so that people could go, well, they're trimming a tree. Here's a tip for you. Take a road trip out to the woods and watch somebody do it if you really want to see it.
I think it's fun people want to see a tree get trimmed.
You're just trying to tick me off now.
No, because it makes sense. I'd want to slow down and watch it.
Really? Would you feel the same way about watching a car get loaded onto a flatbed?
Yes. Of course.
I'm starting to see a pattern here.
I think that'd be pretty.
Somebody pulled over on the side of the road.
Oh, yes. The cop could be hot.
Right. So, yeah, that's my source of anger.
But getting angry at traffic is really kind of pointless.
I understand that, but I don't know if I need anger to be alive. Or what the situation is. But there are certain things that just irritate me, and it's stupid things piss me off, is really what it comes down to. And the fact that you've backed up 4 lanes of traffic for 4 miles because you want to look at a tree getting trimmed is stupid. It really is.
It's very judgmental.
I know.
It's not inclusive of you.
I know. I'm a judgmental dick.
I'm calling the Office of Human Potential.
I have the potential to be an enormous human dick.
Maybe now I might call some of my friends.
I should take a picture of it and put it on Twitter. Of what an enormous human dick I can be.
The one thing I do find funny is gay men don't use Twitter
really?
To show their stuff. No, there's all kinds of apps for that.
There's a junk
app? I feel like I have to describe things a lot to straight people. There's all these apps that you can have. They're like Grindr and Scruff that I think straight boys would love to have. Where if you go on, it lets you know who is close to you, approximately how far away, and what they're looking to do.
Oh, my God!
Like, right now, I could go on my phone, and I could tell you within, like, within probably, like, a quarter of a mile, what guys are looking for stuff.
Well, see, the problem is, we need to get something like that where women are actually looking for stuff. At least straight guys do. But women don't work that way!
I know.
And that's really, see, I think that's why I'm angry. I think that's why all straight guys are secretly angry.
Oh, I totally think they are. I think they're a little bit jealous.
I'm not angry at gays. I'm just angry in general. And I think it comes from a sense of frustration.
I think I'm on Scruff right now, and I just found one of your neighbors.
Oh, nice.
His name is Josh. He's 393 feet away.
Oh, well, that could be anywhere. I mean, that could be across the street.
393 feet's not that far.
It's 100 yards. That's a football field, dude.
I guess.
That's pretty much anywhere on the block. And that's fine. What's Josh looking
for? Wow, he's really wordy. I would never talk to him. He's really long about like friendships, and he's very good at sniffing out liars, cons, and pick collectors within two messages or 25 words. Wow.
So he's what you would call a Marion type of gay.
He's really boring. He's called a drama kind of gay. Ugh, I want to find somebody else. Most people just write fun things like looking for friends or, you know, something fun, not an 8-page diatribe of what they're not looking for.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a woman's personal ad.
It does.
Because as somebody newly single, I tried out the dating sites, and that's something chicks love to do, is go on and on about what they're not looking for. I'm not looking for a guy who has drama, and I'm not looking for a guy who has baggage, and I'm not looking for this, and I'm not looking for that. And what they are looking for is a guy who loves life, is funny, not too into himself, loves to go camping, loves to dress up, and even if they are only 5'2" and really, really homely, they want a guy who's 5'10" or taller and looks a little like Brad Pitt.
I feel like straight men can't be very honest, because like this. Okay, so right now I'm looking at a dude who's only 0.2 miles away, and he wrote, just because I woof at you doesn't mean I want to hump you. It just means I find you attractive. I'll say hi if I want more. Pure bottom here. I work as an accountant for a river conservation council, but I really like a lot of sex.
Right.
That's his entire ad.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like if a straight guy wrote that, he would get reported or something.
Well, you wouldn't get reported, but it would be very odd. You would get a bunch of really, really damaged women. Because that's the only type of woman who's going to respond to something like that. Oh, I actually saw some really bad straight guy behavior today, and I will wrap it up with this because we're going over the hour mark. But I was riding my bike back to work after lunch. How's that for midtown life?
Were you naked?
I was not. I was fully clothed.
Aww.
I have to wear clothes at work. They insist.
God, they're so oppressive.
I know. They even make me wear pants. I can't wear shorts.
What happens if you identified as a nude American?
I don't know if that's an official designation.
It might be.
It could be. So anyway, I'm on my way back to work, and I'm taking a little different road. I'm taking G Street instead of the street I would normally take back. And I'm almost back, and I see this moderately attractive woman. She's wearing like tan khaki pants and a regular top, and nothing. She's not dressed.
I like that you said regular top. It just sounds funny.
Just like a regular girl. Cotton shirt, you know, V-neck, whatever. You know, she was an attractive girl, but you know, not like, she didn't look like stripper walking down the street looking for action. Mm. And this car, this Oldsmobile, pulls up with this dude in the front seat, and he's got a hat that's slightly askew, and I'm not going to mention his race because I'll let people guess which it is.
Oh my God, you're racist.
I'm not. I'm going to let people guess.
You're a mysterious racist.
I'm a mysterious racist. I'm not a racist. I hate everybody who deserves it, regardless of creed, gender, or whatever. And he rolls up and yells to her as I'm riding by. He's like, hey, baby, what's going on? You want to get with me?
Nice.
Yeah, and she's like on the corner of the street. She's probably going back to her little office job. She's off for a lunchtime walk. She's like... And it was the most polite. I can't imagine having somebody do that to me. And she was just so polite. She goes, no, thank you.
Aw, she's a lady.
She is definitely a lady. If you do that in New Jersey or New York, they will do terrible. They will yell terrible things back to you. And not the kind of terrible things you're looking for. They will call you also. Basically, it would be, if it were on TV, it would sound like the emergency broadcast system, just an entire tone of beep of what she would say back. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up right there. Thank you to everybody who listened for my friend Larry Mead. Say goodbye, Larry.
Bye, Larry.
I'm Nate Darling. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you soon.